This is Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday of this liturgical year. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent, and we begin a new liturgical year. We shift from lectionary year B to lectionary year C. So it's an important shift, and we always have this sort of climactic image of Jesus as the King of King and Lord of Lords. We say in the collect to begin that you, O Lord, may restore all things, so that we who are enslaved by sin may be made free. Free, I would suggest, to be obedient to our true King, to Jesus. So today I want to explore these great pileup of images, of descriptors of Jesus in the book of Revelation. Now, I must say, I always had a fear of the book of Revelation, and it was a book that I avoided. It had been made captive in my imagination by the fundamentalists who took it all so literally. And it took me a while to take it back for myself. I mean, I didn't even read it in seminary. Fundamentalists, as you may know, is a late 19th century, early 20th century fearful reaction to the progress of science. And they made the mistake of taking scientific method and applying it to scripture, making it very literal in a way that strips it of so much of its symbolic and imaginative power. For me, a true awakening around Revelation happened just a few years ago when we had a Thursday evening Bible study of Revelation. And part of the practice of that Bible study was at the very beginning to read the entire book aloud. And it was an evening Bible study, and it was, I think, during the winter season, because I remember that things were relatively dark in that room. And I loved closing my eyes and listening to Brigitte and Jay and other people there read aloud these apocalyptic images, because all of a sudden they came alive in my imagination in a way that they never had before. Incredibly powerful. It was like awakening another part of my soul to understand the ways of God in new and very powerful ways. That experience was like the experience of the Wizard of Oz when you go from black and white to color all of a sudden. So I am won over by this book, and I'm only beginning to explore it. So I'm looking forward to exploring it with you. It's part of a larger effort that I'm making, both for myself and for us, really, of recovering a world of enchantment, of appropriate religious and spiritual enchantment. One iconic way of understanding the difference between enchantment and the way we experience life normally is to ask if you understand all of creation as a universe or a cosmos. A universe means that it's just all those scientific explanations for what's going on. A cosmos means that you understand that there is something beyond that, that there is God who is shaping all of this and created all of it very good. That's an enchanted imagination of a cosmos, a world that has an intention behind it, where there is such a thing as justice and truth and beauty and goodness. Revelation is a great book for recovering enchantment. Now, on this Christ the King Sunday, before I actually dive into Revelation, I want to briefly look at the gospel, which is that great exchange between Jesus and Pilate, where he asks, "Are you the king?" And Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world." What might that mean? Well, he goes on to say that if it were, my followers would be fighting. And so I wonder if Jesus' kingdom that's not of this world is and must be by nature a non-violent world. His kingdom is a non-violent kingdom. Now, I am an Augustinian, which means that I tragically understand that sometimes violence must be done for protection and for other reasons, but with a very heavy heart. I respect President Hollande's reaction to the attacks in Paris and understand that that needs to happen in a certain way. But I don't sit easily with that, because I also understand that Jesus is never violent. I'm being drawn more and more deeply into this tension that is embodied by Martin Luther King Jr., who said that our movement is non-aggressive physically, but very aggressive spiritually. I'm struck by that tension, and what might that mean? What would that look like in operation? So perhaps at least part of this kingdom, at least in the Gospel of John, is this kind of non-violence. Now let's look at this passage from Revelation. In chapter 1, and you, if you want to go with me, you can go to page 994 or look at your bulletin insert. And I want to look at four things. What does this otherworldly kingdom look like? What does this otherworldly king? Who is this otherworldly king? So it's the very beginning of the book of Revelation, and it's this pileup of images, as I said. Begins verse 4, John to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. I would point out, if you jump then to verse 8, it repeats it. Who is and who was and who is to come. That's intentional. It frames the whole thing. And is and was and is to come is an intentional echoing of the very name of God as revealed to Moses in the burning bush. I am who I am and I will be who I will be. Jesus is the encompassing figure, the one through whom the cosmos came into being. So right away we've hit this huge bell of a boom. This is being that we are talking about here, the creator of the cosmos. The passage continues. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father. Wow, what a great setup of descriptions. First of all, notice that God loves us right now. Jesus loves us right now. And then the next word is, freed us, not is freeing us, freed us. We're already free. By the cross, we were made free from the sins and from death. We just have to live into that. But then finally, there's this third thing, makes us a kingdom of priests. We're all priests. You may remember that at every baptismal service, we say to the person who has just been baptized, share with us in his eternal priesthood. You and me together. We are all priests. Now, what would that mean? Well, I think one way to understand priesthood is to be a steward of God's mysteries. So together, you and I are stewards of God's mystery on behalf of the world, on behalf of Marin County, on behalf of San Quentin, on behalf of the county community school, on behalf of Ritter Center, whatever it is, we are stewards together of God's mystery, sharing in the eternal priesthood. Jesus made us that way, at least according to this passage in Revelation. It then continues, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him. Even those who pierced him. Now, I had to think about that one for a moment, because you think right away, oh, well, that's referencing, you know, those soldiers who stabbed Jesus in the side or who hammered the nails through his hands onto the cross. But we're not ultimately to understand it to just mean that. You may know this hymn. I'm going to try and sing it to you, and forgive me if I go astray. Ah, holy Jesus, how hast thou offended that man to judge thee hath in hate pretended? 'Twas I, Lord Jesus, I it was denied thee, I crucified thee. Does that sound familiar? We sing that hymn at the end of every Palm Sunday, so that when we enter into Holy Week, we might remember, I crucified thee. When it talks about Jesus returning, and this is where you have to have that rich imagination, that understanding of a cosmos, Jesus comes back in his resurrection body, and his resurrection body continues to have the wounds. And those wounds were caused by us, sinful humanity. Right? We were the ones who pierced him, and he returns like that. Why? To restore and become the King of Kings. That's the good news. So it is to be. Amen. And then finally, verse 8, words that ought to be very important for us here at St. Paul's. I am, Jesus says, the Alpha and the Omega. Please look back to our rosette window, and you will notice that the leaves or petals at the top, there's three of them in a row. The one that's just off to the left in the center has, it looks like a little confusion of things. It's IHS in hoc signum in this name. But then on either side, you see the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Now, all of that window is inspired by the book of Revelation. There is the Lamb who's sitting on the book with the seven seals that are all to be opened. And this actually captures where we are and who we are. You know, I think I preach it frequently, that we are people who live in the tension between the already and the not yet. And as we look up here at the altar, we see the already, what God has already done for us through Jesus Christ. You see his death, resurrection, and ascension. The work is done. Sin is conquered. Death is conquered. But it is not yet to be fulfilled. And for the not yet, we look back there to see the Alpha and the Omega, when all things will be complete, when he will return with his pierced resurrection body to restore all things and become King of Kings and Lord of Lords and usher in this beautiful kingdom of nonviolence. But not yet. And so in this season, about to be Advent, and in a way already Advent for us, we say over and again, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.